In today's Mishnah, we begin a new Masechta, Masechta Erechin, or probably more accurately pronounced Arachin. And this Mishnah deals with an Erech vow. So we've already learned how people can dedicate animals to be brought as a particular korban or take upon themselves to bring a korban. We've also learned how people can want to dedicate a property to give to the treasury in the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to human beings, one can do something similar as well. There's really one of two options. One is they can say, I'd like to give the demay, the value of a particular individual, or themselves, to the Beis HaMikdash. If they do so, we have to work out what is this value of the individual. Once we calculate that sum, that is a sum they have to pay. We've discussed this in the past. The way they worked out a value is how much this individual would be sold for on, say, a slave market. Now, there is another type of vow that the Torah describes. There's a particular sum of money that's associated with individual, and that's an erech vow. Now, in this situation, we don't look at the value of the individual. The Torah presents a lookup table, if you like, meaning based on the gender and age of the individual, there's a fixed amount that has to be given to the Beit HaMikdash, to the treasury in the Beit HaMikdash, if someone makes an erech vow associated with that individual. So the Mishnah begins by mentioning both these type of vows. The Mishnah first begins saying, HaKol Ma'arechin, the Ne'erachin, meaning anyone can make this erech vow or can be the subject of an erech vow. So if someone says, I'd like to give the value of so-and-so, that so-and-so could be anybody. We're going to qualify this soon. Similarly, Nodrin V'Nidarin, anyone can make a neder to say, I'd like to give the value of an individual, or they can be the subject of this neder as well. And that's to teach us, Kohanim U'Leviim V'Yisraelim Nashim V'Avadim, meaning all these, what we've just explained, that this includes a Kohen, Levi, Israel, Nashim, and Avadim, both women and servants as well. Here we're talking about an Eved Kanani. Now, why does Mishnah have to teach us all these things? That is because one might think, when it comes to the world of Erechin, we say, Im machu merkecha ve'mid lefnei ha-kohen ve'erichoto ha-kohen. We are going to understand how this mach merkecha works soon enough, but in any event, the valuation involves a Kohen. So one might think that only Israel stands before Kohen and not a Kohen stands in front of a Kohen. That is why the Mishnah has to teach us even Kohanim can be the subject of a Erech vow. So when the Mishnah is coming to say HaKol Ma'arachin VaKol Ne'arachin, generally that comes to include more cases than that which is specifically stated, as we've seen many times in Mishnayot. So HaKol Ma'arachin comes to include the case of what's called a Muflas HaMuchli'ish, meaning a 12-year-old, he's near full age, he's a mufla, meaning we can check him to see if he's of understanding of how nedarim works and what it means to make a neder. And if such a 12-year-old makes a neder and we've tested him, yes, this would be, it would hold, it would be binding. And when it says, I call ne'erachin, anyone can be the subject of a erech vow, that is it even to include an individual that has no monetary value associated with him. For example, someone who is riddled with the boils, or someone who's very, very unwell, such that he wouldn't fetch any amount on a slave market, nonetheless, he can be the subject of an erech vow. Another case called nidarim, anyone can be the subject of a neder, that's going to include a case we'll mention at the very end of the Mishnah, so stay tuned. Mishnah says, tumtum vadrogonos. This is, we've explained these two individuals in the past, a tumtum is a individual whose gender parts seem to be covered over. It's not recognizable what gender they are. Androgynous is an individual that has both male and female organs. They can nodrin v'nidarin. They can make an adarin, just as men and women can. And they can also be the subject of a neder as well. That's because it's associated with their value. They can also ma'arichin. They can stipulate a erech vow. They can say, I'd like to give the erech of such an individual. Aval lo ne'erachin. They cannot be the subject of this erech vow. And that is because, as I've explained, when it comes to erechin, it's not their value. It's based on a lookup table in the Torah. And the Torah only lists that of a zachar and that of a nekeva, and not these individuals with an unclear gender. So as the Mishnah says, "Einu nerach ela zachar vaday or nekeva vadayit." It's only the Torah only refers to a clear zachar, male, and a clear nekeva, a female. Mishnah says as follows, "Cheresh shota v'katan." This is a deaf mute, an imbecile, and a minor. This is younger than some uchlish, as we've explained earlier, so younger than 12. We say, "Nidarim v'ne'erachim." They can be the subject of a neder, and they can be the subject of an erech vow as well, because they have a monetary value. And again, we work at their value, and then that's the sum that has to be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Aval lo nodrim v'lo ma'arichin. They cannot make a neder, and they cannot make an erech vow. Why? Mipnei she'en bahem dat. Because they're not at an age or in a state of understanding that has halachic significance. Let's continue. Pachot mi ben chodesh nidar. If an individual is under the age of a month, then nidar, it can be the subject of a nidar. Someone can say, I'd like to give the value of this newborn child. So if someone says, I'd like to give the erech of such a newborn child, it wouldn't have any effect because the youngest age the Torah provides for in this lookup table is 30 days old. Let's now learn Mishnah Bet. Mishnah begins, Hanochri, we're referring to a non-Jew. Well, here we have a debate in the world of erechim, but not nidarim. So Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir says he can be ne'erach, he can be the subject of an erech vow, and then we simply look at his nochri's age and gender and find out the sum. Aval lo ma'arich, he cannot make an erech vow. Rabbi Huda says, no, he can ma'arich, he can make one, but he cannot be the subject of one. Now, why is that? That is because the Torah, when it describes the erechim, it specifies specifically Bnei Israel, but then has this term that seems to include everybody. So we have what a mutan, if you like, a riboy. It says daber al Bnei Israel, speak to Bnei Israel. So it sounds like this mitzvah only applies to Bnei Israel and not Nochrim. However, it says ish, this universal term ish ki yafli, if you make such an erech vow. So it's going to exclude a Nochri from one case and include him in the other case. So, but what are the cases? Rabbi Meir understands the Nochri cannot make an erech vow, but can be the subject of one. And he points to the Chereshot of a Katan, who share that same scenario, that they can be the subject of an erech vow, but they cannot make one. However, Rabbi Huda says the opposite. He points to the Tumtum Vadrogonus. The Tumtum Vadrogonus can make an erech vow, but they cannot be the subject of one. And Rabbi Huda goes one step further and says, you cannot learn from the case of Cheresh Shot of a Katan, because the reason why they cannot make one is not because of a specific exclusion, but simply because they have a technical problem that they're not of the age or the state of mind that classifies them having halachic understanding. So therefore, he says a closer parallel is that of the Tumtum and Androgynous. And just as the Tumtum and Androgynous can make an Erech Vow, but can't be the subject of one, then we find when the Torah is including excluding a Nochri, so too they can make an Erech Vow, but they cannot be the subject of one. However, Zeh v'zeh modim, they both agree, meaning Reb Meir and Rebbe Huda, that a Nochri can make a Neder and they can be the subject of a Neder. Meaning if they wish to dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash and they say, I'd like to give the value of so-and-so to the Beis HaMikdash, or my own value, or an Israel comes along and says, I'd like to give the value of that Nochri to the Beis HaMikdash, then it would take effect and the value would have to be given to the Beit HaMikdash. Those are Mishnah today.